It's time for David Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what happened on our morning show, which you're going to hear on Planet 93.9. My name is Dave, and his name is Darren. Hey, Darren, how have you been?
I'm okay. This particular podcast, brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have a location, Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. And now you can do this. You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location, and you can order medicinal items from the Milan location, both of those through Leafly, and that's at the website ntillinois.com.
Are you just exhausted with me?
No.
I mean, I ask how you're doing, and you go, I'm okay.
No, like, I'm all right.
Isn't it enough that I've talked to you all morning long,
no,
and now we got to listen to it again? I'm fine, David. I'm fine. But you're good, right? We're
absolutely
good?
Absolutely. I'm okay.
All right. I like to just check in.
Uh-huh.
Let's get started with number one.
Number one?
Yeah. Number one. One.
Number one. Number one.
Minor League Baseball set to resume here before too much longer.
That would be a week from yesterday, right?
There is no longer a Midwest League. That's gone, right?
But how does that affect then your Major League teams as far as players that they would like to have? Because what they have now, right, is that they will send, they're sending them off to other locations.
They have alternate sites at the moment.
Alternate sites at the moment, but now that when the minor league baseball getting up and running,
there will no longer be alternate sites. You'll just have
those
minor
guys
league
are
baseball.
Just going to minor league baseball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Be better competition for them. Better seasoning.
Right. The guys that weren't quite on the squad no longer have to hang out in where, like Schaumburg.
Yeah.
Is that where they had him?
Well, I mean, that's where they're doing it in Chicago. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you saw, but they said that, you know, they're going to put tickets on sale, and across minor league baseball, you can't sit in the first three rows.
The first three rows.
They don't want you that close to the players.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not until things are, you know, safe enough to do that.
Okay.
We're not there yet. You can't sit in the first three rows at any minor league baseball game.
In most parks, I would think that would still allow you plenty of seating.
The Clinton Lumber Kings and the Burlington Bees will be playing in the Prospect League, which is a collegiate wood bat league, right? That's exciting. There's also, I think you would be on board with this as someone who worked in minor league baseball for a time. There's a league out west called the Pioneer League that has made some, I think, a rather bold announcement as to what they're going to do this year, a rule change that the league announced yesterday. This has never been done before. The Pioneer League says they're getting rid of extra innings. League announcing they will implement a first-of-its-kind knockout rule. After 9 innings, if you're tied, we go to a sudden-death home run derby. Under the rule, each team designates a hitter who will receive 5 pitches with the game determined by the most home runs hit.
You can do it, Joe.
If they're still tied after the first knockout round, another hitter is selected for sudden death home run faceoff until a winner is declared. In addition to the knockout rule, the Pioneer League also announcing they're experimenting with a designated pitch hitter rule, allowing a player to be pitch hit for before returning to their defensive position for the remainder of the game. Additionally, a designated pinch runner allows all eligible roster players to pinch run or be pinch run for before returning to their designated position for the remainder of the game. We want him in the field. We don't want him on the bases. And we can make that happen. Also, hitters in the Pioneer League can appeal a check swing strike decision to a base umpire. Normally, that's something the catcher does. The catcher says, did he go?
Yeah, right.
They're saying we could also have the batter.
What about me?
Yeah. The Pioneer League is a partner league with Major League Baseball, but there's no official tie with the Major League Baseball experiments with different rule changes. They're doing all kinds of minor league rule changes in all the different leagues.
All right,
leagues.
Well, if you're gonna get this screwy,
yeah.
How about this for extra innings, as opposed to a home run derby?
Mm-hmm.
You pick a player from your team,
and see how many pitches they can absorb as before they drop to a knee.
Do they stand there? Wait a minute.
They stand there in the batter's box, and you plunk them, and you just see how many pitches.
See, I say, not in the batter's box. They have to stand on home plate facing the pitcher.
So right square in the chest?
Just, yeah, and you have to stand with like the Superman pose.
The Superman pose.
With your hands on your hips.
How many pitches can you take before?
That's not bad.
Before you have to take a knee.
So instead of the knockout, you would like to see someone actually get knocked out.
You can't throw at their face.
Okay.
And
what if they're wearing like a catcher's mask?
Well, we'll put one on him.
Put this catcher's mask on. Stand on home plate. Listen, the other team just took 7 pitches to the chest. I need you to take 8. Need this win, buddy. Gotta have this win.
Right to the crotch.
The Bees and the Lumber Kings were kicked out. And then also getting kicked out was the Kane County Cougars, which surprised a lot of people because that was a franchise in the Midwest League that tended to do pretty well, right?
Yeah, I think
so. In terms
so.
Of attendance and everything.
Now, does the...
They're now in something called the American Association.
Now, do all of these different leagues, they all fire up on the same day?
Yeah, I think that's right.
And that would be next Tuesday?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they don't play games on Monday. They play 3 games...
They have a uniform schedule.
Right. You play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against one team... And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday against another. All of minor league baseball has Monday off.
All weekday games are 6:30, right?
I think that's
except
right.
Except for Sunday is 1:00.
I think that's right, yes. And here locally, we don't have, there's no such thing as a Midwest League. It's now Class A Advanced. At some point, I imagine they will sell the naming rights to that, right? So it'll be like the O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Mm-hmm.
Class A Advance or something along those lines, right? At some point, that's a way that they're gonna have to make.
Yeah, because who's doing that is
well, the NHL.
The NHL's doing it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a way to make some extra cash. Why wouldn't you? I don't hate your idea. Maybe you do that after the Home Run Derby, rather than getting another batter.
Okay, so if
we do the knockout with the Home Run Derby.
I'll give you that. If we're tied after the Home Run Derby,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to see.
We're going to play Uncle Ball.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Uncle Ball. Which team will call Uncle first? Now, let me ask you. Do you have your guy stand in the box? I think you have to do it in turns, where like... Somebody has to say no mas. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't have a guy that takes 12 pitches.
Yeah, and then the other guy's got to.
Because you could have somebody.
But here's
you
the
could
thing.
You could draft somebody who was born without nerves.
Right, can't feel anything.
And that's all they do for your team is just take a beating.
Now, having said that, if we got to that point, where the game is tied, everybody in the stadium gets excited. Very excited. And they're cheering, of course, for the Home Run Derby to end up in a tie. Because everybody wants to see the Uncle Ball.
Uncle Ball.
Uh-huh.
This game. And they have to have, like, sirens go off.
Right. Streamers. Confetti.
Okay. This is another thing I'd like to see for Uncle Ball. This is what I want to see. For Uncle Ball, you don't pick... Who goes up there, right? Here's what you do. When it's Uncle Ball, both teams are instructed by the umpire, return to your benches.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the camera at the ballpark kind of zoom over them while an organ plays, kind of like they used to pick people for the Bozo buckets. And then it stops on the guy that's like, you! And then
you'll be like, representing
number
the team.
12!
Or maybe we pick fans. You just people... Pull people out of the stands.
To select someone to go and take the beating?
No, to throw the balls.
Oh, no. So you let some guy who's been watching the game take out his aggressions on these ball players.
Or put a mask on them, and they're representing the team.
Wait. So the person throwing the ball needs to be from the other team, right? In uncle
yeah,
ball.
And yeah, and it's got to be a profession. It's got.
You can't
be,
have fans.
No,
out
you
there.
Can't have. They'll never be able to hit you.
And if they do, it won't hurt.
It'll be like 40 miles an hour.
Right.
No, you have to have an actual pro ball player.
Do you have someone from your own team do it? Or it's got to be someone from the opposing
team. The other
team's
throwing the ball at you.
So you have two pitchers on the mound, one from each team.
You just keep the pitchers in that we're in, the last pitchers that we're in.
Oh, I see. So the reliever failing the knockout round with the home run derby, they each get five pitches. If that goes nowhere, then it's time to play uncle ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you and I have just done is saved our national pastime. You're going to attract people that...
They do what now? Oh yeah, I'll go watch that. Do they have many tied ball games? Some.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You just get a lot of guys in leather masks coming to your ball game.
Right.
What happened here?
He just got hit with his third ball. He didn't take a knee, but he did throw up. Which is allowed.
Two.
They are bringing back the Flintstones. Mm. Now, this isn't the first time you've heard this. 10 years ago, 2011, Seth MacFarlane, the guy behind Family Guy and American Dad,
mm-hmm.
that guy...
Oracle.
I didn't mention Oracle on purpose. Is that show still on the air, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Where do I find that?
And the name of the show is The Orville, not The Oracle.
Okay, not The Oracle, it's The Orville.
You're clearly a big fan.
I am.
Seth MacFarlane was going to do a reboot of The Flintstones.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of something that they talked about for years and years. Oh, he's going to do this, he's going to do this. And then finally, after a couple of years, they pulled the plug. And the reason, according to Seth MacFarlane, the reason that they weren't able to do the reboot uh-huh. of The Flintstones was,
yep.
he said, quote, honestly, I couldn't figure out a way to find enough differentiation between a modern-day Fred Flintstone and Peter Griffin. It's the same guy.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, then years ago, they said, okay, this Seth MacFarlane Flintstones is not happening. Now there is news that there will be a new primetime animated comedy series of the Flintstones. And it is worth pointing out that the Flintstones was originally a primetime animated series. The Flintstones was produced on the ABC television network in the early 60s, and it was made for adults. The commercials were Fred and Barney smoking Winston cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird to watch when you grew up with the Flintstones.
But I think she saw me.
No, see, you're thinking again of Family Guy. That's not really the Flintstones. But yeah, it was brought to you by Winston Cigarettes, and they would just, you know, sit and enjoy a delicious cigarette during the commercial breaks.
Why would you replace... Once Dino rips mm-hmm. a hole in the top of that car,
yeah.
why wouldn't you just leave it there so that the next time... You took him to the movies. You didn't have to. You're just burning money.
It's an interesting point. Also worth pointing out that Dino, in the very first episode, talks. And he talks like this. He sounds almost like Stewie. Like, Dino, when he first comes on the show, has a kind of a Stewie Griffin accent. And then he just starts yapping like an idiot. He's like the smartest dog ever. And then they decided after one episode, no, we just need to make him a dog.
Speaking of Hogan's Heroes, do you know what item Schultz coveted most of Klink's?
I didn't watch Hogan's Heroes. You'll have to fill me in.
His riding crop.
That's a weird thing to watch.
And did you know this about Sergeant Schultz?
I promise you I didn't.
He was the owner of the largest toy factory in Germany. He was a toy mogul.
I had no idea.
It's true. It's all there.
Well, the new Flintstones animated adventure is coming out thanks to Elizabeth Banks.
Huh.
This is going to be on the Fox network. They are developing a primetime animated adult comedy series.
She's doing this and the Cocaine Bear, huh?
She will do Cocaine Bear, and she will be the voice of Pebbles and the producer of a new show called Bedrock.
Now,
the sequel series
that.
To The Flintstone is just called Bedrock.
I wouldn't mind that for a GPS voice.
Pebbles Flintstone or Elizabeth Banks?
Elizabeth Banks doing Pebbles.
That's not bad. I think it's just because she's just going to sound like Elizabeth Banks. She's been developing this Flintstone project for a couple of years with Warner Brothers Animation.
How old is Pebbles in this one?
Well, this is a sequel series.
Okay.
So Bedrock follows the Flintstone family 2 decades after the original.
To their grave.
Pebbles is a 20-something, and Fred is on the brink of retirement.
They should be older than that.
Fred is on the brink of retirement, and a 20-something Pebbles is embarking on her own career. Hmm.
He should be in, like, an old Stones home by now.
That's not bad.
And Pebbles has got to be at least 50.
Hello, I'm Rock London, and I'd like to talk to you about
a
rock...
place for Fred.
A rock for Mom. The Flintstones will be on the Fox Network. The last time they did anything animated in the Flintstones canon, it was a made-for-television animated movie, and Pebbles was voiced by Megan Mullally.
Hmm.
She was working at an advertising agency and got married to Bam Bam, and then ended up moving to Holly Rock.
I don't think you want anything to do with Bam Bam.
Right?
No.
The original series, produced by Hanna-Barbera, ran for 6 seasons on ABC. It was the first animated series to air in prime time. By the way, as of this Saturday, the Tubi service, which is owned by Fox, that's a streaming service, Tubi, they have acquired the rights to all 166 episodes of the original Flintstones. They're going to launch on May 1st. This is the 60th anniversary of the Flintstones.
Sure.
Yeah. Bedrock will be co-produced by Warner Brothers Animation and Fox Entertainment. Elizabeth Banks and Max Handelman will executive produce through Brownstone Productions. Reading here from the statement they put out, it says, long before The Simpsons and Springfield, The Griffins and Quahog, or even when the Belchers started serving burgers on Ocean Avenue, there were the Flintstones and Bedrock. Their imprint on the animation universe is undeniable, and the idea of adapting it for today's audience is a challenge we here at Fox are very much looking forward to. Oh, wow. I'm excited. This could be good.
How much do you think that Tony Curtis signed Stony Curtis still is worth?
Okay, so years ago, you bought a still from Hanna-Barbera, and it was signed by Tony Curtis as his character, Stony Curtis, the slave boy.
But he signed it Tony.
He signed it as Tony.
Yeah.
Does it say, like, a.k.a. Stony? Or
no,
he doesn't
it says
to.
Tony Curtis.
Yeah,
and
you know.
It says Tony Curtis, and it says 1109 because it was November of 2009.
Oh, when Tony Curtis
signed it.
Okay.
He didn't live that long after that.
So you have a Stony Curtis autograph from Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
But he sent it as Tony, not Stony.
Right.
He still knew who he was at that point in his life.
I'm still Tony Curtis.
You're asking me what the valuation would be for that?
Yeah.
Let me ask you how much you paid for it.
I think it was like $35.
Probably worth about $30.
Okay.
If I had to guess. Okay. Wilma's mowing the lawn.
I wonder if those are still available.
And Betty's cleaning the
sure
basket.
Work hard, don't they, Bonnie?
Yeah. I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back where we can't see them. Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking a nap?
Hey, I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter, Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
So their wives are doing all the work around the house, and these two bums are just sitting having a heater.
I find it hard to believe that Barney could even figure out how to light a cigarette.
I find it hard to believe that Fred suggested they take a nap together.
How about we smoke after the nap?
Well, Fred, what are you suggesting?
I can tell you this. That was no nap.
Bonnie, this is happening.
That was not a simple massage, and that was no nap. Now let's have a Winston.
Bonnie, let's take a nap. But first, let's earn
none
that
of that
nap.
Was what you called it.
Bonnie, you're my bosom buddy, close friend, and lifelong pal. I need you to do something for me, Bon.
Sure thing, Fred.
But I need you to be discreet.
Look away.
Kazoo materializes and watches.
Dum-dums.
Keep doing it. Now, see, Kazoo sounds like Stewie, too.
Yeah.
How much of the Flintstones did everyone
they just
says
lifted it from the Flintstones.
Right. Seth MacFarlane, obviously, people say that he plagiarized The Simpsons, and I think there's an argument to be made there. But as far as, like...
The real Genesis.
Right? When Dino talked, it was season two when they introduced Dino the dinosaur.
Just like Brian.
And it was... Because, yeah, at first he was just a dinosaur that was in the open and close, right? He was just in the beginning and the end. And then they decided to bring him on. And, yeah, Dino would talk. He was a talking dinosaur, which is, the other dinosaurs talk because they always do that gimmick where they say it's a living. Like you hear the dinosaurs talk, but for some reason Dino just barks like a dog in every episode except the first one, right?
Why, glad to see you. Please go right ahead. Don't mind little old me. We're drawing a Snookosaurus, aren't we? Of course we are. Love it, love it, love it. But we are making mistakes, aren't we? Allow me, sir, eh? Think. As I remember, a Snookosaurus is a large, handsome animal, regal head, more shape to the neck, well-proportioned body, and yes, the feet, large but neat. And there we are, the Snookosaurus. I am such a forgetful dunce.
Now, that was a good idea to make him a mute.
You wouldn't have put up with that?
No. No, that was a good... Good decision.
Now, today's Anne Margaret's 80th birthday. Remember when she was on the show as Anne Margrock? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did a show at the Holly Rock Bowl, and Fred and Barney came out, and they sang, I love you, but I ain't gonna be your fool. Oh, man. I can't wait.
So you think just $30 for that Tony Curtis sign?
It's about $29.99, probably. Ooh. Probably going to cost you more to ship it than you're going to get on the return. But, you know, I'll take it off your hands if you don't want it.
I don't have it.
What do you mean you don't have it?
It's down in Mattoon. Soul Stash has it.
Of course he does.
I gave away all my wall hangings.
Yeah, you've been giving away a lot of stuff. Do you have news for us? Mm. Like, you're doing this thing where you're giving away all of your possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Is everything okay?
As far as I know, I just don't want stuff anymore.
Hmm.
It's cumbersome.
Number three.
Three.
People very excited about Five Guys Burger and Fries coming to the Quad Cities, finally. That's going to be on Utica Ridge. Looks like they're getting closer and closer. I think they open up in May.
Yeah, the signs are up and everything.
Yeah, so that's happening. People excited about another place to get hamburgers. Are you familiar with Mr. Beast Burger?
No.
Because a quick review of Mr. Beast Burger, there are two locations in the Quad Cities.
Really?
Yeah, but what's tricky is there are no real locations. Mr. Beast Burger is a virtual kitchen concept. They link in with pre-existing restaurant kitchens with new virtual restaurant concepts. So restaurants make their food for them. It's like you can get our burgers, but they're made by all these other restaurants. Turnkey.
They have subcontracted burgers.
Yeah, and it's delivery only, too.
Mm-hmm. And it's a real thing.
Yes, Mr. Beast Burger. So other restaurants make the food for them, and then they deliver it, but you're getting a Mr. Beast Burger burger. There's no original location. A bunch of Mr. Beast Burger kitchens opened on the same day. The chain follows a virtual model. So there's no place to go like, oh, this was the first Mr. Beast Burger. It doesn't exist. There are over 300 restaurants nationwide that are part of this Mr. Beast Burger. The delivery-only model means there's no actual addresses. You can't go to Mr. Beast Burger, but you can order a Mr. Beast Burger burger.
And we can't tell you which kitchen it's coming from.
Well, no. See, a little bit of digging around. Like, for example, here, when I take a look at locations, right?
Uh-huh.
It says in Illinois.
Because you would want to know where you can get it delivered to.
Yeah. It says there's two locations in Iowa, Bettendorf and Davenport.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, now hang on just a second. I feel like I know where all the hamburger sandwich places are in town. So when you do a quick Google here, it says that the one of the locations for Mr. Beast Burger here in town is, in fact, the Foundry.
Okay.
Which is out at the Betplex there on Competition Drive.
All righty.
So the Foundry makes these Mr. Beast Burger burgers, which are getting a lot of... Like, they release this new burger and people are going nuts for it. The Mr. Beast Burger burger. It's called the Dream Burger. Now, I haven't had the Dream Burger.
But the Foundry must make our burger this way.
You
do what you want with your burger.
Right.
But this is how you're going to be making our burger.
I'm guessing that's how that works.
It has to.
I haven't had the new Dream Burger from Mr. Beast Burger. You certainly haven't. You were not familiar with this chain of restaurants that exists virtually, but you can eat their actual food. If only there was someone to tell us if this Dream Burger from Mr. Beast Burger is any good.
Uh-huh.
If only.
Hello, everyone. This is Running on Empty Food Review. Well, hello, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone out there watching right now.
Ship
Welcome,
show.
One and all. This is Running on Empty Food Review, and I am your host, the report of the week. Filming outside today, I figured
again,
what...
Again...
You don't need to point that out.
Again, the name of this gimmick is Running on Empty?
Running on Empty, review of the week, and I'm the report of the week. Right?
See, this is the problem. He just told you and you don't know because there's too much going on. He is the report of the week. This is Running on Empty Food Review.
Oh, Food Review, right.
Yes.
Okay, Running on Empty
right.
Food Review.
Yes.
I'm report of the week.
Yes. Although nobody...
Why can't I get that straight?
Because it's too much information. He's giving you a paragraph in his title.
Why not? You know, let's just change up the scenery a little bit. You know, add some background ambiance. I know, to me anyway, sometimes the birds can be a little loud and the,
I bet they drive you nuts. I can see you just fixating on birds. It's probably why you don't...
These birds drive me to madness.
That's why he probably never leaves the house.
This whole idea of eating fast food on camera was probably a bird's idea. A bird told me to do this. I must do it or else they'll take over.
I'm doing some work over there or something, but I hope you can hear me all right, and let's just get right down to business. This is a release that I was inundated with requests for last night, actually. I was getting email after email and comment and message, and people were contacting me really through every means possible. I even got a...
I got so many Western Union telegraphs!
There were also a lot of unnecessary... Ugly names they were calling me.
Call for Philip Morris.
A message on my shortwave radio asking to try this out.
Of course this guy's got a shortwave radio. I've never been less surprised about anything in my life.
Mr. Beast Burger has a new release out. Now this is called the Dream Burger.
I'll tell you more if we could shut these damn birds up.
Mr. Beast Burger. For those of you who may be more familiar with online content creators, obviously both of those names are familiar.
All of a sudden, now he's got a handgun, and he just starts shooting up the sky.
And you just see feathers falling into frame. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you about this virtual burger I'm about to consume, but first, let's murder some birds.
Here, Mr. Beast Burger is a new chain that came out, I'd say, back in December or so. And I tried it back then, and I thought it was pretty solid. You know, I think it's got a good premise and some decent food, too. And it is made, of course, you know, founded, I should say, by the one and only Mr. Beast. Now, the Dreamer Burger...
The one and only Mr. Beast.
We know where the bodies are buried, Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast. Yeah. The About Mr. Beast Burger. It says the event. I'm reading now from the Mr. Beast Burger webpage. On November 19th, 2020, fans of Mr. Beast descended upon the town of Wilson, North Carolina, just a few miles from Jimmy's hometown of Greenville, to enjoy the world's first free restaurant. Mr. Beast and his friends, Chandler, Chris, and Carl, hosted thousands of fans during a pop-up event for Mr. Beast Burger. Fans enjoyed an authentic, one-of-a-kind experience featuring branding, packaging, uniforms, and signage, along with a free meal. Mr. Beast is an award-winning digital content creator known for his over-the-top stunts and charitable endeavors. He joined forces with Virtual Dining Concepts to create Mr. Beast Burger, a virtual restaurant brand now available to order across the United States for delivery only. Mr. Beast Burger operates out of existing restaurant kitchens, allowing restaurateurs to add a new source of revenue without impacting the operation. Customers can only order Mr. Beast Burger via the Mr. Beast Burger app or through major food delivery apps. Mr. Beast Burger available for restaurants to prepare out of their existing kitchens as a way to generate a new revenue stream. How does anything taste consistent if you have hundreds of restaurants making your Mr. Beast Burger? Like, if I get a Mr. Beast Burger here and I go to Des Moines, is it going to taste the same?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You would have to be following the guidelines of this is the way we want our burger made. Otherwise, you're just getting the Foundry Burger.
Right.
And that's not what you're ordering. If you're ordering, if you want the Foundry Burger, you then let the Foundry know that you want the Foundry Burger.
But you can't get a Mr. Beast Burger burger at the Foundry. It's delivery only.
Right, unless but they're you the go, ones making it. You're
right.
Saying, you're
but if
saying,
I want to dine in at the Foundry, you're telling me I can't get a Mr. Beast Burger. That's what it sounds like.
That sounds right.
I don't understand. What a time. Virtual restaurants?
Only delivery.
I think some folks watching right now obviously know the name. Some might not. The Dream Burger, it was inspired by the famous content creator who goes by the name Dream.
Have you ever heard of this guy in your life, The Dream?
The Dream?
Yeah, but apparently he's a big deal.
No.
He's a content creator. The Dream.
Okay. For those of you who aren't familiar with what he does, again, he's a famous online content creator that largely does Minecraft videos and also, I believe, speedrunning videos as well.
Okay, now I need to explain something
what
to you, Darren.
What is speedrunning?
Speedrunning is where you play an old game, like a Mario Brothers, and you get through it as fast as you can.
Oh, okay.
There are no methamphetamines involved.
It's not wind sprints.
So anyway, this is a burger that they collaborated on, and here's what it is, and we'll just try it out. We'll see if it's any good. And
I am hungry for something. You know what I could go for? A hamburger, but not made by any specific restaurant and designed by someone who plays Minecraft online. That's what I'm peckish for this morning.
Well, let's see what he says.
You know, just give it an assessment. Whether you're a fan of the creators and you want to give them your support, or if you just want a good bite to eat, we'll get to the bottom of this. So, it comes with two smashed beef patties, American cheese, lettuce, mayo, double pickles, extra bacon, and smashed avocado. So that's what you can find on the Dream Burger, and it's available at the price of $6.99 for a double. And it comes with special branding right there. It looks like mine sprouted a little bit of a hole, but you can see it does have
it's
the Dream.
It's an enormous burger!
Yeah, that's a lot of burger for $6.99. Let's see him chew on this. Oh, this guy. He's got lettuce all over his face now.
He's got lettuce on top of his head.
He's wearing the hamburger. Now, if we could shut these birds up, I could tell you more about this delicious hamburger from Mr. Dream. It's none of this is real. It's a virtual hamburger. Oh, he just won't stop eating, this guy. I gotta fast forward. Just keeps going after it. What do you think about avocado on a hamburger, Darren? Would that work?
So how is it? How does it taste?
Yeah, tell us. I would say
first
not necessary.
I'll take a sip out of The blue chalice is getting washed right now.
Oh, his
the
cup.
Blue chalice!
That's what he calls it.
I don't know why. They sent me this cup, too. It came with the delivery. It says Chris Tyson Mr. Beast Burger. And I think it
you
says...
You get an empty cup?
They send you a hamburger and an empty cup. Get yourself something to drink. It's all so, virtual.
There's that. All right, into the review. Let's give a quick rundown of how this this item is. Overall, I'm happy with it. It's a big sandwich, and you just need to understand that as you're going into it, and you have to say, okay, it obviously looks big in the pictures, and it most certainly is. So the advertisements aren't misleading. It's a big burger, which I think is a good thing, though. Sometimes I feel like you're getting, you know, inadequate portions for the price you pay. At least, you know, for the $6.99, you're getting a real big burger.
That's a lot of hamburger for $7.
Yeah, that's a big burger.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like he likes it.
The beef patties, I don't have a problem with. To me, they seem like they are. They're juicy. You can see that there is a decent thickness to them as well. I mean, you know, largely the size of it is, you know, it is a lot of meat on this burger. But it tastes pretty good, pretty flavorful. And
I have no problem at all with the industrial slaughtering of cows. As a matter of fact, I'd be happy to slit their throats myself.
After I get done murdering these birds... Now, I feel like we've talked about this before because the Davenport location is Golden Corral. So if you order a Mr. Beast Burger from Davenport, you're getting it made by the people at the Golden Corral Buffet.
Okay.
If you order it in Bettendorf, you're getting it from the Foundry.
That does sound familiar.
Right? I feel like we talked about this when it launched. But I assumed, I think... Well, clearly wrongly, that it was a Golden Corral thing, like they were trying to pull off a Pasquale's Wings.
Right.
Like the people at Chuck E. Cheese did.
Right, but that was not the case.
No, the case is that you can just, I guess, have the license to make their burger, and then they'll deliver it. So you get it from a delivery service,
mm-hmm.
The Mr. Beast Burger. You can't eat it at either location. Ah, it's fascinating. Well,
I'll have to...
I'm going to ask you now. I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, Darren, sure. Here, and I'm going to ask you, and I want you to really think about it. 30 seconds on the clock. What's the name of this guy's show on YouTube?
Running on Empty.
Yes.
Food Review.
Yes.
I'm your host.
Yes.
Report of the Week.
How about that? He did it, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations. I didn't.
First time ever.
I think we have a wiener.
Bing, 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 bing.
First time ever.
There's not a chance you'll retain it by lunchtime, though.
No.
Number four.
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 You know who Zoe Roth is?
Zoe Roth.
Does that name ring a bell? Zoe Roth.
Related to Philip Roth?
No, no. Zoe Roth is known as Disaster Girl. There's a meme, and you've seen it a million times. There's a house that's on fire, and there's a little girl in front of the flaming house looking back like, yeah. Yeah, I did
Let it
this.
Burn, huh?
Yeah. This picture of this little girl, she looks pretty pleased with herself as the house is burning. They've called her Disaster Girl.
That's a famous picture?
Yeah, it's a meme that's been pretty popular for a number of years. It was 2005. She was 4, and her dad, Dave, took a picture of her in front of a building that firefighters were putting out.
Not their house.
No, in fact, the firefighters were doing what's called a planned burn.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, take your kids to go see the planned burn. Took a picture of her, and there was never anyone in any danger in the house. This was an exercise that the folks in North Carolina were doing.
So it's not fire starter.
No, but it looks like fire starter. The look on this young girl's face is like...
that I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, those people are burning because of something they did to the little girl. And, you know, her smile is so enigmatic that people will then place her, you know, with Photoshop, they'll place her in photos with other disasters. So she's become known as Disaster Girl. Now, this was 2005 when she was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She is now a 21-year-old senior going to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. This image that has been viral for essentially her entire life, right? It is something that has brought her fame, but not really any fortune because you can't really make any money on being in a viral photo, or can you?
Mm-hmm.
She was contacted by somebody earlier this year. They said these non-fungible tokens, these NFTs.
Right.
These things are taking off. What you ought to do is sell the original picture, the digital picture that your dad took in 2005. You should sell that as an NFT. And she thought, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Right, because people can just look it up and, okay, maybe.
Everyone can just have it.
Just right. Right. You can just look at it.
The idea of owning the original digital property.
Why would that mean anything?
Why would anyone want that? Exactly. Well, she does a little research. And she's, these people that are meme subjects, they have a little club, basically. There's another guy named Bad Luck Brian. And she contacted him. She talked to a lawyer. And then decided, okay, you know what? I'll do this.
We'll give it a go.
The original photo sold as an NFT. That's a non-fungible token. The digital property was sold, auctioned off, and she made $430,000 on the sale.
Okay, so it was originally in Dad's possession.
Yes.
Now he no longer has it?
I'm confused by your question.
How's that work then? Okay, so someone bought the original.
Well, she's splitting the proceeds four ways with her parents and her brother.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying.
And she's going to donate her share to nonprofits, she says.
With these NFTs.
See, I don't understand how that works.
How does he not have the original?
I guess you just...
How does Dad not have the original?
You transfer the original to somebody, and then they have it. And then you have to, I guess, delete your copy of it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is the original.
Because if I'm paying that, that's mine.
Yes. Somebody paid the cryptocurrency equivalent of more than $430,000 for a picture that you can have right now. Just Google Disaster Girl. There it is. There's the picture. But what you have is not the original, you see. You don't have the original. So now this girl's got all that dough. $430,000 for a picture that somebody took of their kid in front of a burning building.
Who knew?
This is my question. Do we have any NFTs? Are there any like Dave and Darren NFTs that we could start? I want to get in on this before this. Before everybody realizes that this is all nonsense.
Right.
How do we get some sort of Dave and Darren NFT?
Does anyone want to buy the original Amazing Larry's version of Silent Night?
Do we have that?
Well, do we have that?
Bird would have that. We won't have that. Bird was the one that filmed it and would have the NFT.
We need Bird to send that to us.
Well, why would he? It could be worth a fortune.
He doesn't need to know. Hey, Bird, this is a power play.
I need the original.
I need it. I need
digital video of Larry singing Silent Night.
Yeah, and then we'll put that up for our
game. Okay. What do you think we'd make off that?
Not much.
I mean, obviously, that's not as big as Disaster Girl. She's one of the biggest memes going. But if we could make a couple of bucks, again, before everybody realizes
it's all hogwash,
how silly this is. I saw where there's an artist, independent artist, who is doing something with her music where she's selling, like, she'll write songs and then she'll sell NFTs to have ownership of the song. And she came up with a song, and she said, I believe this song is worth $1 million. Uh-huh. And I'm going to sell 10 NFTs for $100,000 a piece. And then that way you can support me as an artist, but also if my songs become something, you have like a 10% stake in the royalties and everything. And she was able to move a couple $100,000 blocks on a song that she was writing.
You own this line of the song.
How does that work? Yeah, we got to get in on this before the whole thing collapses and everyone realizes NFTs were a gigantic mistake.
Wake up, stupid.
Amazing Larry's NFT. Available if the price is right.
Mm-hmm. And by that, we mean anything.
Yeah, what do you got?
Five.
Number five.
Story from Maine that I can't quite figure out. Mars Hill, Maine is our setting. State police responded to a car theft a couple of mornings ago. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They get a call from a woman who was watching a man sitting in his truck near her home before running up and down the road. The man then stole that woman's Jeep Grand Cherokee and began ramming it into his own truck. As the state troopers began responding to the scene, this guy returned the Jeep to the woman's house and ran back towards his own truck, which again he had smashed into. Troopers located the man, and he then refused to get out of his vehicle. They then broke a window and were able to apprehend him. 34-year-old Tony Dubick lives in Westfield, Maine. He was already on bail, with one condition being that he not drive a vehicle until he was licensed to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Faces multiple charges, including aggravated criminal mischief. Stole the car and ran it into a truck that was his truck that he was sitting in. What?
So he was looking for some sort of insurance fraud or something?
Unclear.
But before I do any of this, I need to knock out some wind sprints.
It just, there's a lot here that I don't quite understand.
I get keyed up a lot of times. I'm going to do this. I need to do some sprints first.
Westfield, Maine is a town of 549 people. So everyone must know about this cat there in that part of Maine.
He's the town goofball.
Like every town has one
sometimes,
goofball.
Sometimes he'll wake up sleepwalking and scratch the walls. It happens.
Ram, 33-year-old man, stole a vehicle, battered his own pickup with it, then locked himself in the truck.
Someone hit
my
truck.
I'm not coming out unless you break the window.
Someone hit my truck. This needs to be fixed.
And this woman thought something was weird about the guy when she saw
him. She was like, right.
Yeah, you notice. You're able to notice when something's not right, right? So she saw something and thought, oh boy.
Actually then, didn't act fast enough.
Yes. Running up and down and knocking on doors. He then got into her Jeep Grand Cherokee and rammed it into his pickup several times.
But he was able to just quickly, like, hotwire the thing?
I don't know. That I don't know. I'm looking at the map of Maine. Like, I think this is a very rural part of the state. Mm-hmm. So it could be that the keys were left in the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because they do that in rural parts of, well, America, right?
Uh-huh.
I was fascinated by that when I met Iowans for the first time, and they would explain how they all left their keys in their car out on the farm because it's just easier in case you have to move the car. And I thought, boy, if this news got out,
yeah, that's
none of you would have any cars.
That's not the sort of thing I do.
No, nor should you. No one should leave keys in the car.
Well, I know people who do, though.
Yeah?
I'm not going to say who, because then you'll start targeting their cars.
Well, yes, I will. As you know, I've been looking to branch out into Grand Theft Auto.
Mm-hmm. Not just the game.
The Grand Cherokee heavily damaged. I don't know how much damage is done to the truck.
Too much damage.
He's going to be, it says here, he'll be going to court at a date to be determined.
How much do you want to bet he does some wind sprints before he walks in with his lawyer?
Well, that's why you got to shackle this guy. Mm. Can't have this guy just running up and down the halls.
Shackle and tackle.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, that was almost too much fun.
Almost enjoyable.
Thanks for listening to David Naren's Top 5 Things. Thanks for leaving reviews. It's really important you do that. If you haven't gotten a chance to let the world know what you think, wherever you are listening to this, leave a review of the podcast. Thanks in advance. Thanks for downloading and subscribing and listening to the show. Also want to thank Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making the whole thing possible.
Yeah, they've got a store in Milan that's open every day. They have one in Galesburg as well. That's open weekdays and Saturdays. The recreational waiting lists are available. You can reserve your time. It's nice and easy. All you have to do is click on there and do it at ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do this for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, stick a fork in me. I am done.